Okay, last time I was up here, I asked Tiffany what I should go over, and she said, Ruth! And then she changed it to Cain and Abel because she was learning about Cain and Abel in Sunday school. So we did Cain and Abel. So tonight, I thought we'd go over Ruth. So let's turn to the book of Ruth. This is a fun story in the Old Testament. It's about a woman named Ruth. And Ruth got a book of the Bible written after her and got to be in the line of Jesus and great-grandmother of David the king. And what's interesting about that, as we'll see, is that she was not an Israelite. She was a Moabite woman. And God kind of brought her into the line. And so hopefully as we go through, we'll get a chance to talk about, you know, what are some of the things that about Ruth, why would God bring her into the line of His Messiah, and, you know, when she was a foreigner like that. So, let's go over the book of Ruth. We'll start in Ruth, in chapter 1. This is short. It's only 4 chapters. It takes about 15 minutes to read the story. So, we'll read a little bit and we'll talk about it and go over it here. So, book of Ruth, chapter 1. And it came to pass in the days when judges administered justice that there was a famine in the land. And so a certain man went his way out of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites out of Bethlehem, Judah. So they came into the country of Moab and remained there. And Elimelech, husband of Naomi, died, and she was left, she and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And they also both died, Mahlon and Chilion. So the woman was bereft of her 2 sons and of her husband. So here we see the story starts out, and there's a famine in Israel, so a man took his wife and went to Moab to sojourn there because there was famine in the land. And while they were down there, he died. And then, so they were left, just the woman and her 2 sons. And then the 2 sons each took a wife in Moab, and then they both died. And so now here's this woman, Naomi, and she's bereft of her husband and bereft of her 2 sons. Here she is. So let's continue. Then she arose, she and her daughters-in-law, and returned out of the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Yahweh had visited his people in giving them bread. So she went forth out of the dwelling place where she had remained, and her 2 daughters-in-law with her, and they went their way to return unto the land of Judah. Then said Naomi to her 2 daughters-in-law, Go, return, each one of you, to the house of her mother. Yahweh deal with you in loving kindness as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Yahweh grant you that ye may find a place of rest, each one in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, With thee will we return unto thy people. Then said Naomi, Go back, my daughters. Why should you journey with me? Have I yet sons in my wombs that they should become your husbands? Go back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should even tonight have a husband, and should even bear sons, would ye therefore tarry until they are grown? Would ye therefore shut yourselves up from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it is far more bitter for me than for you. The forth hath gone against me the hand of Yahweh. And they lifted up their voice and wept yet more. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Lo, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Go thou back after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Do not urge me to leave thee, to go back from following thee. For wherever thou go, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. So let Yahweh do to me, and so let him add, if death itself part me and thee. And when she saw that bravely determined was she to go with her, she ceased entreating her. So they 2 went their way until they entered Bethlehem. So here we see that Naomi picks up and decides she's going to go back to Israel. And two daughters-in-law start going with her, and she says, go back to your homes and live your life. Why should you come with me? And so the one daughter-in-law, Orpah, kisses her and does. She goes back to her own family and her own people. But Ruth, it says Ruth clave to her. So now here we see a quality about Ruth. Ruth was not about to leave her mother-in-law. Ruth was not about to say, okay, I'm sorry. It's really bad for you. I'm going to go my own way and live my own life. You know, it's terrible for you, but off I go to live my own life. She clave to her mother-in-law. I like how she says it here. She says, wherever you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people. Thy God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. So let Yahweh do to me, and so let him add, if death itself part me and thee. She was not about to leave her mother-in-law. She was going to stick with her. So there's maybe a quality about Ruth that was interesting to God. The type of woman that is going to stand by whoever it be and not leave them no matter what. That's a valuable woman. That's a valuable characteristic in a gal. And what's interesting about the way God works is He returns that, I guess, to Ruth. Let's continue reading. All right, where are we? Verse 19, yeah. And it came to pass that when they entered Bethlehem, that all the city was moved concerning them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I was full when I departed, but empty am I brought back of Yahweh. Why then would you call me Naomi, when Yahweh has given answer against me and the Almighty has crushed me? So we kind of see here the spirit in which Naomi was returning. She's been crushed. She's lost her husband. She's lost her sons. She's pretty crushed. Continue reading in verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they entered Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now Naomi had an acquaintance of her husband's, a man of great integrity, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go, I pray thee, into the field, and glean ears of corn after him in whose eyes I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. I want to pause here real quick and explain the concept of gleaning. So what Ruth is asking to do is to go and glean in the fields. And God had it set up in Israel that when people harvested, they would not take absolutely everything out of the field, that there would be some left so that the poor and the sojourners and the widows and orphans and such like that could go back in and glean it and therefore get something to eat. Let's read his law, where that is in Leviticus in chapter 19. Flip back to Leviticus in chapter 19 and verse 9. We'll read here in the law of God, his law. Leviticus 19:9 says, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly clear the border of thy field in reaping, nor shalt thou gather up the gleaning of thy harvest, and thy vineyard shalt thou not go over again, nor gather every single grape. For the poor and for the sojourner shalt thou leave them. I, Yahweh, am your God. I like how he throws that on the end of there for emphasis. So let's look at this law here. He says, when you reap your land, you shall not wholly clear the border of your field. So you clear it all out, you get the main portion, you get all everything, but you don't clear all the way to the edges and all the way to the corners and whatnot. You leave some of that there. And if you look at fields, you know, the stuff on the edges and the corners doesn't really grow that great anyway. You know what I mean? So you just kind of leave that there. And then all that stuff that kind of falls down, you don't pick it up. You just you leave it there. You get most of it. If you're talking about your grapes or whatever, you go through, you pick them all, you get the most part of it, and then you don't go back over it again. You leave those. You get the lion's share, the most of it, and then the other you leave. And that's for the poor, that's for the sojourner, that's for widows, that's for those type of people. I, Yahweh, am your God. Right? That's who God is. That's, you see His Spirit. He would do that. So, this being the case, in Israel, now, here's Naomi and Ruth, and they just came out of Moab. They don't have anything. They're poor. They probably don't have anything to eat. So Ruth is going to go out in the fields and glean. So, let's pick it back up in chapter 2 and verse 3. So she went her way and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And it happened to her to light upon the portion of field land belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And lo, Boaz, coming from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, Yahweh be with you. And they said, Yahweh bless thee. And Boaz said to his young man that was set over the reapers, whose is this maiden? And the young man that was set over the reapers answered and said, the Moabitish maiden is she who came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, let me glean, I pray thee, and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came in and has continued from that time all morning until just now, and she has not rested in the house except for a little. I want to pause real quick here and bring out another characteristic of Ruth. So first off, Boaz, here she is gleaning in the field, and she happens to light upon the field of Moab. First of all, we learned up in chapter 2, the Moab that Boaz, sorry, she's gleaning in the field of Boaz, yes. And we happen to learn in verse 1 of chapter 2 there that Boaz was a man of great integrity. So being a man of great integrity, he probably was following that law, and his was probably a decent field to glean in, right? And this is interesting the way God works, you know what I mean? And so, because his is a decent field to glean in, here ends up Ruth gleaning in his field. And so he comes in. Here he is, coming in from Bethlehem. Hey, who's this girl? Right? So he goes up to his foreman, the young man he had set over the reapers, goes up to his foreman, hey, who's this? Right? And it's interesting what the foreman says. He has noticed something about Ruth. What he's noticed about Ruth is that she asked if she could come glean, and she has continued all morning till just now and rested in the house just a little. So what stood out to this foreman was she had pretty good work ethic. Like this Moabite woman came in and she's worked all day. I mean, she rested a little. It's not like she's crazy. She's a normal girl. But she worked all morning, you know. So that stood out to him. So there's a quality of Ruth, another quality of Ruth, I guess. Okay, let's pick it back up in verse 8 there. So Boaz says to Ruth, listen to me, my daughter. Do not glean in any other field, neither indeed shalt thou pass on from here. But here shalt thou keep fast by my maidens. Thine eyes be on the field which they shall reap, and go thou after them. Have I not commanded the young men that they touch you not? And when you are athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young man shall draw. Then she fell upon her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found favor in thine eyes, that thou should take notice of me, seeing that I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said to her, it hath been told me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and come unto a people whom thou knowest not aforetime. Yahweh recompense thy deed, and let thy reward be full from Yahweh, the God of Israel, unto whom thou hast come to take refuge under his wings. And she said, let me find favor in thine eyes, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken unto the heart of thy handmaid, though I be not as one of thine own handmaids. So here we see that Boaz comes up, and he says, hey, why don't you just stay here and glean? Why did he say that to her? Well, he'd already heard about her. He'd already heard that Naomi came back in out of Moab, and here came with her daughter-in-law. And her daughter-in-law was really good to her and was taking care of her and wouldn't leave her. So because of that, he says, why don't you just glean here? And let's pick it back up. Do you see how Ruth is very virtuous? Boaz is a man of great integrity, and this is kind of working out. Now, of course, this is, you know, being a story about women, of course, we all know what's going to happen with Boaz and Ruth, right? This is, like, we see where this is going, right? Anyway, all right, let's pick it back up in verse number 14. And Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Draw nigh hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and there was reached to her parched corn. And she did eat and was satisfied, and left thereof remaining. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Even between the sheaves let her glean, and reproach her not. Yea, moreover, draw out from her from the bundles, and leave behind that she may glean it, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and there was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and came into the city, and when her mother-in-law had seen what she had gleaned, she brought forth and gave her what had been left remaining after that she was satisfied. Pause here for a second. This is my favorite part, probably the whole story. She sits down at mealtime, and they obviously had some bread. They were dipping in vinegar, and they reached her some parched corn, parched grain. And it says, she says, she did eat and was satisfied and left thereof remaining. And then if we look down, it says, after she showed her mother-in-law what she had gleaned, she brought out what she had left remaining after that she was satisfied. You know, they probably gave her enough for one person to eat. And she ate a little bit and was satisfied and saved some for her mother-in-law and brought it home so her mother-in-law had something to eat. It's the type of girl she was. She was thinking about her mother-in-law. And Boaz saw that. You see, he saw that. He saw what she did. And then when she got back up to go glean again, he told his young men, he said, "Hey, let her come up right in, basically in between the sheaves, in between the bundles. Let her get right up in there. And in fact, pull some out and leave it dropped on the ground so she can get it." And so then when she had gathered all she gathered for the day and went and beat it out, it was an ephah. Now, I don't have any idea what an ephah was. I'm not going to get into that. But it was a significant measure of wheat. And so she brings it home to her mother-in-law and shows her, and it's, wow. You know, and then brings out her leftover lunch so her mom had something to eat. It's the type of girl Naomi was. The type of girl Ruth was. Sorry. Naomi was her mom. All right, let's pick it back up. And her mother-in-law said to her, "In what place hast thou gleaned today, and where hast thou wrought? May he that took notice of thee be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The name of the man with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Then said Naomi to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of Yahweh, who hath not left off his loving kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "Near to us is the man, of our own kinsmen is he." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "Yeah, for he said to me, by my young men shalt thou keep fast until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said to Ruth her daughter-in-law, "Good is it, my daughter, that thou go forth with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So Ruth went and gleaned every day, dwelt with her mother-in-law. Let's continue on reading here. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek for thee a place of rest in which it may be well with thee? Now therefore, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou hast been? Lo, he is winnowing the barley threshing floor tonight. Thou wilt therefore bathe thee, and anoint thee, and put thine apparel on thee, and go down to the threshing floor. Do not make thyself known to the man until he has done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lies down, that thou shalt mark the place where he doth lie, and shalt go in and turn aside the covering of his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest I will do." So now Naomi here is thinking, right? She's got this idea. And so she wants Ruth to get a husband, right? And she's got her eye on this Boaz guy. So she gives Ruth this good plan. She tells her, you know, bathe thee and anoint thee and put on thy apparel. So basically get all done up and go down there and wait until he's eating and drinking and he's laid down to sleep, and then go in there and uncover his feet. Right? And lay down there, and he'll let you know what's going to go on. So, let's continue. Let's read on here. Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor, and she did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was glad, he went in to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came in softly, and turned aside the covering of his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass, in the middle of the night, that the man started up and turned, and lo, a woman, lying at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she said, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy wing over thy handmaid, for a kinsman thou art. And he said, Blessed be thou of Yahweh, my daughter, for that thou hast made thy last loving kindness better than the first, in not following after young men, whether poor or rich. Now therefore, my daughter, do not fear. Whatsoever thou shalt say, I will do for thee. For all the gate of my people doth know that a virtuous woman thou art. And now, although it is true that a kinsman I am, yet there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry the night, and it shall be in the morning, if he will act as a kinsman to thee, well, let him so act. But if he inclineth not to act as a kinsman to thee, then I will so act unto thee by the life of Yahweh. Lie still until the morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, and rose up before one could know his neighbor. And he said, Do not let it be known that a woman came into the threshing floor. So he said, Bring the cloak that is upon thee, and hold it. So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it upon her, and he went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, How did it go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he unto me. For he said, Do not go in empty unto thy mother-in-law. And she said, Abide, my daughter, until that thou get to know how the matter will fall out. For the man will not rest except he has finished the thing today. So she goes in, uncovers his feet. So you think about it, you're sleeping and someone uncovers your feet. And then in the middle of the night, here he is sleeping. And all of a sudden he wakes up and, well, there's a woman there. It's kind of startling. So who are you? Well, I'm Ruth. And she basically says, spread your wing over thy handmaid, for a kinsman thou art. Here's another law of Israel that we'll briefly go over. We won't go back and read it for the sake of time. But when a man, God had it set up such that when a man died and he had no children, that his brother or nearest kinsman was supposed to take his wife. And that way, if they had children, they would be his brother's children, if that makes sense. That way his name wouldn't die out and his widow would be taken care of. So that's the way it was set up back in the olden days. So that's what they're talking about now. Boaz is kind of their kinsman, so she's asking him to take her, is what she's asking him. And of course, Boaz says, yeah. I like how he puts it at the end of there. He says, yes, he's willing, and he is the near kinsman, but there's actually one kinsman nearer. So he's going to go see if that other kinsman will take her, fine. But if he won't, I will, by the life of Yahweh. He says, for the whole gate of my people does know that you are a virtuous woman. So then she gets back home, and Naomi asks her, hey, how'd it go, you know? And she says how it goes. And she says, I like how she says, abide, my daughter, until thou get to know how the matter will fall out. For the man will not rest except he has finished the thing today. I like how Naomi is. She knows how guys are. She knows exactly how this is going to go down. Don't worry. He'll go. Okay, so let's pick it back up in chapter 4, verse 1 there. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down. And there, lo, the kinsman passing by of whom Boaz had spoken. So he said, Turn aside and sit down here, such a one. And he turned aside and sat down. Then fetched he 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. Then said he unto the kinsman, The parcel of land that was our brother Elimelech's is to be disposed of by Naomi, who has returned out of the country of Moab. And I thought I would unveil thine ear, saying, Take it over in presence of such as are here seated, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If thou wilt act as kinsman, act as kinsman. But if thou wilt not so act, only tell me, that I may know. For there is none who can set thee aside as kinsman, and I am after thee. Then he said, I will act as kinsman. Then said Boaz, What day thou takest over the land from the hand of Naomi, also Ruth the Moabitess, wife of the dead, must thou take, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Then said the kinsman, I cannot act as kinsman for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Do thou for thyself act as kinsman in my right, for I cannot so redeem. So here we see There's two things going on. There's the fields and land of the dead Elimelech and his two dead sons that someone is left to inherit. And then there's his widow. And so whoever takes over the field has to take over the widow too. Well, this guy was probably in such a situation that if he took over the widow, you know, he'd have children and they wouldn't be his, they would be Elimelech's. So he doesn't want to mar his inheritance. So he's willing to take over the field, no problem, he'd be happy to take over the field, but he doesn't want to take the widow. So Boaz gets to take the widow. So let's pick it up again. In verse 7, he says, "Now this aforetime was the way in Israel at the redeeming and in an exchange to confirm every word. A man drew off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. Yea, this was the way of taking to witness in Israel. So the kinsman said to Boaz, 'Take it over for thyself,' and he drew off his shoe. Then said Boaz to the elders and all the people, 'Witnesses are ye today that I have taken over all that was Elimelech's and of all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, wife of Mahlon, have I taken over to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off, and from among his brethren and from the gate of his dwelling place. Witnesses are ye today.' Then said all the people who were in the gate and the elders, 'Witnesses, Yahweh grant the woman who is coming into thy house to be as Rachel and Leah, which two of them did build the house of Israel. Do thou bravely then in Ephrathah, and proclaim thou and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare to Judah, of the seed which Yahweh will give you of this young woman.' So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and Yahweh granted her conception, and she bare a son. Then said woman unto Naomi, 'Blessed be Yahweh, who hath not let thee fail of a kinsman today, and may his name be famous in Israel. So shall he become a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine own old age, for thy daughter-in-law who loved thee has borne him, even she who is better to thee than seven sons.' So Naomi took the boy, and laid him in her bosom, and she became his nurse. And the women, her neighbors, gave him a name, saying, 'There is born a son to Naomi.' So they called his name Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. These then are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David." That's David, the king. So we see here that Ruth ended up with a husband, rich guy, take care of her. And Boaz ended up with a young wife, virtuous woman. Naomi ended up with a seed after all her husband and sons were dead, ended up with a seed. And it's interesting, you know, this last genealogy here. It's kind of a, if you think about the genealogy of Adam to Jesus, you know, to the coming of the Messiah, you kind of have Adam to Abraham and Abraham to David and David to Jesus, you know. It's kind of like a little roadmap. But here's a small little dot on the way, you know. The line of it went through Boaz. And God pulled in a Moabite woman to be in that line. And she got to be great-grandmother of the great David the King. So just want to focus our attention tonight on Ruth and the types of qualities that, you know, you think about that. Why would God pull in a Moabite woman into the genealogy and have a certain book written about her? And we can see the qualities. She's a faithful woman. She stood by those who she was with, no matter what. She wasn't willing to just let them go deal with their own hardship or whatever their life had given them. She stood by him. She was a faithful woman. She was a virtuous woman. She was a hard-working woman. So, encourage you to be like that.